Well, I'm just thoroughly enjoying and being challenged by this wonderful series. You asked for it. I asked for it. Yikes. And you showed up and have presented wonderful things that you have questions about spiritual or truth principles or unity principles. And so I've been trying to address those each Sunday. And this week, Sudarus was the one who asked about forgiveness. What kinds of truth or spiritual or unity principles can one use? And there's, of course, all levels and different degrees of forgiveness that we all face and are going through, but especially how to heal when something has been, the transgression has been really egregious, has been really hurtful and challenging. And so my talk title today is You Asked for It, Forgiveness, Releasing the Past, Open to Healing Love. And so I think we all grapple with forgiveness, do we not? Our ego sometimes gets in the way because we don't want to think, oh, did I do that? Or how do I say I'm sorry? Or the part of us that is naturally human and feels hurt by someone who slighted us or did something really difficult that's overstepped appropriate boundaries. And the challenging thing for us as human beings is we tend to reside in our humanness, don't we? And then we wonder why things are challenging. And we forget about shifting into a connection with spirit to help us navigate through these kinds of things. And we've also been brought up with some erroneous ideas around forgiveness and the sort of misunderstandings, misgivings about there's that thing of, oh, if I were a good person, right? If I were a good person, I could forgive anything, right? I could forgive that someone just ran over my dog. Oh, I could forgive that because I'm a good spiritual person. How many of you have a little bit of a subconscious idea of that passed down throughout time? Yeah, we do. And so I want us to kind of take another look at what forgiveness is really about, because that's a humanized perspective of forgiveness. And we do know that forgiveness is important. In Scripture, from Proverbs 17, verse 9, it says, "Love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends." So what tends to happen when something happens to us, whether it was an intentional from someone or oftentimes unintentional, we kind of keep going around and around and around on it, don't we? It's like, you know, touching a sore tooth. And we just keep reliving some of those moments, some of those hurts. And through these old paradigms of trying to understand what forgiveness is, we feel as though if we forgive, it's about saying, whatever happened to me or whatever I did, whatever the transgressions, that's okay. And it's important for us to understand that no, we do not need to make that be okay. As human beings, we make mistakes. We do exceed boundaries. We do some pretty horrific things at times, and things happen. But that human part of us that tries to be spiritual in our world and make it okay is absolutely missing the mark. I'd like to share something from an article that was written by Emily Lawrence. She's a health coach and a journalist, and she has used some quotes in this from Robert Enright, who is a PhD. He's a professor of educational psychology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She said in her article, "It's not always easy to forgive even when we really want to." You know, a lot of times we've been carrying something for so long and we'd really like to let it go, but it just keeps coming up. But one key to forgiveness, according to psychologists, is that it's about you. We always feel we need to forgive them. And the truth is that forgiveness is about healing ourselves, not the other person. The benefits of forgiveness greatly outweigh holding a grudge and can affect both mental and physical health in profound ways. While forgiveness may feel impossible in certain situations or circumstances, forgiveness experts say that forgiveness can be learned no matter how great the offense. Robert Enright, PhD, says, forgiveness is not excusing what the other person did. It's not saying that what happened is okay. What happened was unfair, and it will always be unfair. Some people may not want to forgive because they believe it means relinquishing power to the person who wronged them. How many of us feel that way? It's like, oh my gosh, if I give up, they hurt me. How dare they? And if I give this up, I give power back to them to hurt me more. But when someone does decide to forgive, including forgiving themselves, they feel more hopeful and empowered about life. When you don't forgive, you are letting the other person have power over you. You are staying entrenched with those thoughts and ideas because it changes who you are on the inside. But when you forgive, you take that power back. T.D. Jakes, he's a bishop and an author, a pastor at a mega church. He says, I think the first step is to understand that forgiveness does not exonerate the perpetrator. Forgiveness liberates the victim. It's a gift you give yourself. These are powerful, powerful words. And Paul Bowes, who is an author, also goes on to say, forgiveness does not change the past, but it does enlarge the future. So here we are faced with this kind of awareness of how we misunderstand what forgiveness is, and we get stuck in a rut. We keep going around and around because, oh my gosh, if I do, I give up my power. What they did was not right, and they should be made to pay, and that's where we come from at that human level. But as we do that, what we recognize is that we stay entrenched in that. And the power of the light of love, the presence of God, the mystical movement that can happen when we recognize that what forgiveness is about is letting go. It's about letting go of all the thinking, all the repetition, to the degree that we can. We're not going to instantly drop something we've carried, usually, for a long time. But it is recognizing a willingness within us to no longer hang on to that which is in the past, because you know what? It's not ever going to change it. And don't we think, they should not have, or I should not have. And you go, that is and was what it was. But I'm here now. And what do I choose in going forward in my life to continue to carry these, chains behind me and bags of rocks and stuff? Or will I choose to activate in myself, to recognize in myself a willingness to simply let go and let it be dissolved? Doesn't mean the other person has to have retribution. That's up to them. We let them go. And we also allow ourselves to love ourselves in the process. And so what forgiveness is really about is letting go, is releasing and bringing ourselves present. Dr. Victor Schuler, who is an executive coach, he's an author, he's a speaker, he's a chiropractic doctor. And he says, When we or you're withholding or when you're not able to forgive, it's keeping you fixed in time over an event. How many of you have felt that? Oh my gosh, there are times when I thought I let something go. Have you ever done that? And then all of a sudden you see that person, you go, man, and it just comes all back, you know, and okay, there it is. Or any kind of the emotions that we still, of course, have within our being as humans, will come up from time to time. But those events, when they are fixed within us, can become very painful. And we then become very stagnant and we're unable to move forward. People get hung up on forgiving simply because they are still experiencing negative emotions associated with the event that caused the pain in the first place. They've been told somewhere along the line that you can't truly forgive until you are no longer angry, sad, frustrated, bitter, or resentful about what happened. How many of you have felt that? Oh, yeah. Oh, I have to, you know, just, oh, yeah. That la-la zone, right, that we buy into. Yeah. This is simply not true. It's simply not true, Dr. Victor says. Forgiveness is all about doing something for yourself. It's not about the other person. And that is to be moving forward and telling yourself that you're no longer going to give any more time, attention, thought, or energy toward that one event that happened. It's about telling yourself that you are no longer a prisoner of the past and that you are ready to move forward, living and enjoying your life as the best version of yourself. So while this is, you know, wonderful advice and we don't hear it enough, it's important not to beat ourselves up when we set something down and we release it and then we pick it back up, right? Okay, I think I forget that. Well, it's an understanding that we release things in layers and in levels. And to be willing to be patient with ourselves, to be present with ourselves in this process of letting go, in this process of healing. Many of you, John O'Donohue, he is an Irish, an author, a priest, a philosopher. He says, forgiveness is one of the really difficult things in life. The logic of receiving hurt, so from that human aspect, the logic of receiving hurt seems to run in the direction of never forgetting either the hurt or the hurter. Isn't that true? From that human level, it's like, well, I'm not ever going to let that go or forget that. What he says is when you forgive, some deeper divine generosity takes you over. It'd be great to put that on our refrigerators, wouldn't it? A deeper divine generosity takes you over. When you can forgive, then you're free. When you cannot forgive, you are a prisoner of the hurt done to you. If you're really disappointed in someone and you become embittered, you become incarcerated inside that feeling. Only the grace of forgiveness can break the straight logic, which is our human experience, of hurt and embitterment. And many of you are familiar with Henry Nguyen, who's a Dutch Catholic priest, a theologian. The only people we can really change are ourselves. Forgiving others is first and foremost healing our own hearts, friends. So in talking about spiritual principles and how do we work with healing, that first step is a willingness to let go. To let go either of what we might have done to someone else that we keep running through our mind, and we may choose to apologize in ways or to make amends with love. Or if something was perpetrated against us and we notice it coming up, it's willingness to notice. And instead of running down the rabbit hole with it, to begin to surrender it and into this divine alchemy of the healing presence of God or of the energy of love that is all that is. In Philippians, in Scripture, Philippians 3:13 through 15, it says, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not yet achieved it." So yeah, we're still working with this, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, friends. So the activities to engage in being open to healing love is, first of all, to be willing to let go, to notice, to be aware when we start running and when we start putting our tooth in that sore spot, when we start picking back things back up, and to recognize that we are here now. We cannot change the past, and nor would we really want to. It is a part of all that creates who we are now. However, we can bring ourselves fully into the present and begin trusting in this activity of spirit that I call love. We can call it by grace. We can call it by so many names. It's the activity of infinite creator, allness, oneness, spirit. Love, not the human emotion, but the actual energy of all that is and ever will be. And what we do is when we release this outer thinking, what happens? We open space in us. And then that activity can begin to heal us and to move in ways that we might know or even understand. And a lot of times as humans, we go, I'm going to make love heal this. I'm going to make love heal me, and I'm going to make love heal that person. And the truth is, we can't make love do anything, because love already is its own activity at work all the time, everywhere present. What's blocking it is the stuff we continue to hang on to and rerun in our lives. Now, I'm not saying this is easy, because, oh, yes, yeah, get up here, do a little 20 minutes and tell people, oh, sure, let go. I get it. I have a lot of stuff that's trailing behind me that still comes up. And yet, I do love to breathe into and to remember that there is this activity of eternal beingness, of spirit, of creator, that is of love, that heals in ways we cannot even imagine. And so it's not about making love heal. It's about creating the space and allowing it to. Releasing blocks that impede love's natural flow allows us to heal. Releasing the blocks, releasing all those things we hang on to whatever degree we can, in whatever moment, and letting that activate us so that we are moving forward, and that constantly, like the Bible says, turn to the pillar of salt as we look behind and we're frozen, we're stuck. Most of you were familiar with Maya Angelou. She's a fabulous poet, civil rights activist, movie maker. She's an amazing, amazing woman. And she says, love heals and liberates. I use the word love, not meaning sentimentality, or what she's speaking, not meaning human emotion love, but a condition so strong that it may be that which holds the stars in their heavenly positions and that which causes the blood to flow orderly in our veins. Is that a poet or what? I mean, that's love. That's the activity of God, of light, of spirit. And to recognize how liberating and how healing it is when we are willing to allow it. So in utilizing unity or truth or spiritual principles, it would be a willingness to trust in something greater than ourselves, to trust in God, a willingness to take time apart, to have conversation with that higher self, with God, to do our own work, to take time in prayer, meditation, in the silence, to breathe and to allow. So these are some of the tools that you can use in this process of laying down, releasing, letting go, the things that maybe you've carried throughout your life. Ernest Holmes says, denying love is our only problem, and embracing it is the only answer. Through the power of love, we can let go of past history and begin again. Love heals, forgives, and makes whole. And in Scripture, from Isaiah 40:31, it says, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. In other words, when we are willing to listen to that inner presence versus our own trying to take control, we'll find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint, those who trust in the Lord. And from Colossians 3:12-14, therefore, dear ones, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have one against another. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together. So let us breathe and know it's a journey. It's a willingness to engage in an ongoing way of being aware of what we continue to hang on to, taking the time in prayer, taking the time in contemplation and being out in the woods of walking along the river or the lake to release it into the allness of infinite spirit and creativity, creation, allowing that which transcends any of our own understanding, our own knowing, to heal us and bless us. And so let us go forward this week in practicing loving ourselves, practicing laying down things that we've carried for a long time, practicing in rejoicing, in being open to the flow of infinite love that heals and blesses. In closing, I will share a quote that I took from livelifehappy.com. Forgiveness is not something we do for other people. We do it for ourselves to get well and to move on. Friends, let's indeed get well and move on.